Watching movies with my parents was a huge treat for me growing up. Every summer, on the hottest days, we would have these movie marathons in the cool of the basement, queuing up movies so long that they were spread across two VHS cassettes, like The Sound of Music.
The hills are alive with the sound of music.
And Anne of Green Gables.
What are you thinking about?
I'm afraid to speak or move for fear that all this wonderful beauty will just vanish.
These watch parties kept us cool on summer days and gave me insight into the lives that my parents imagined for us as immigrants working to make it in the U.S. As a grown-up now, I keep these movies and others that they shared with me close to my heart. So for Father's Day, I wanted to talk with two NPR dads who love movies to see how they might try to pass that passion on to their kids. Joining me to discuss are two of NPR's biggest movie fans and both fathers, transportation correspondent Joel Rose and voting correspondent Miles Parks. Hey, guys.
Hi, happy to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
All right, so some movies are special to us because we shared them with our parents or they were passed down to us. I'm wondering for each of you, what were some of the films that got passed down to you from your parents?
Yeah, I have this distinct memory of going to see Return of the Jedi in the theater with my dad.
You failed, Your Highness. I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
I was, I think, 6 years old. Totally into Star Wars, had watched the first two movies
by
approximately
six, wow.
1,000 times, yes. And so that day had like this feeling of a really big event. And, you know, more than any particular film, I just remember that feeling of being really excited to go into the theater and sit in the dark and watch the movie. And I think in general, his tastes are kind of more to the classics than mine. But mm-hmm. there are a couple of movies that we have in common that mm-hmm. we love. Casablanca.
He's looking at you, kid.
The Graduate.
Mrs. Robinson, you're trying to seduce me.
Dr. Strangelove.
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
Those are like definitely on the list.
Those are classic, classic dad films. Miles, what about you?
Yeah, I feel like my dad skewed more towards like dad movie, capital D, capital M, dad movie in terms of like, we like, it's mostly action movies, honestly. We watched like a lot of action movies growing up. I mean, the biggest one that I remember is at some point we just decided we're going to watch the Bond movies from start to finish, like in chronological order.
Okay.
We went through all of them, right?
Do you expect me to talk?
No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die.
The one I was thinking about in terms of when I think about watching a movie with my dad, 1997 movie Gross Point Blank, which mm-hmm. is this John Cusack movie where he's an assassin.
You're a psychopath.
No. Psychopath kills for no reason. I kill for money. It's a job. That didn't sound right.
But then kind of gets some strange feelings about becoming an assassin, decides he's going to go back to his 10-year high school reunion where no one knows what he does for a living. He kind of reconnects with his high school sweetheart who's played by Minnie Driver. I feel like it's just like this perfect blend of like, is this a comedy? Is this an action movie? Is this an excuse to watch Dan Aykroyd do Dan Aykroyd stuff? It's like everything.
All of this, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. How would you guys define what a dad movie is?
It's a pretty loose category and mm-hmm. could be any kind of like action movie. I think like people put war movies in this category a lot. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And I would say like anything with Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford, Denzel Washington. I agree. War movies, historical fiction movies a lot of times. And I was like thinking about what is the thing that connects a lot of these movies that I think of as dad movies? One of the things is actually like the simplicity of the narrative, I think, mm-hmm. a lot of the times is like usually there's a good guy and a bad guy, or it's very clear who you're supposed to root for. I was thinking mm-hmm. like one of the dad movies I think about is Apollo 13.
Yeah.
You know, classic mm-hmm. 1995 Ron Howard movie.
This is Houston. Say again, please.
Houston, we have a problem.
Guys are in space and we got to get them back. And it's like there's no gray area here in terms of like who right. you're rooting for or what you're rooting for in this
very
movie.
Clear.
Exactly. And I think when you think about a war movie, action movie, sports movies, a lot of times fit into this where it's just like I am rooting for that team, you know? Mm-hmm.
Right. It's not driven by necessarily emotional nuance. If you look at the way dads are portrayed in films, there's a lot of like black and white kind mm-hmm. of like simple dads are like bumbling but lovable. That is a big theme. You mm-hmm. see that all the time. Mm-hmm. Like sort of the good-natured buffoon who means well but screws things up. And that's like any dad from a National Lampoon movie, right?
Nobody's walking out on this fun old-fashioned family Christmas. No, we're all in this together.
There's this darker set of movies where the fathers are really the villain. They're like these demanding, power-hungry or even insane dads. And I think the recent Frankenstein by Guillermo del Toro is a really good example of this.
Never again will I make something like you wicked.
Also like reaching back to like Chinatown or The Shining for like other evil dad examples.
Dad,
hurt Mommy and me, would you?
Miles, you are a recent father, relatively recent father. I'm wondering, what are some films that you cannot wait to share with your daughter?
You know, the one I was thinking about the most is 2019 movie Little Women, Greta Gerwig's adaptation of Little Women.
I just feel like women, they have minds and they have souls as well as just hearts. And
I have avoided rewatching this movie because I cried so much the first time I saw it. And I'm like, I need an excuse to watch this movie again. I thought, in my opinion, that was the best movie that came out in 2019. I got into a lot of arguments with a lot of dads who said 1917. And I was like, no, it's literally Greta Gerwig's Little Women. I will ride and die for this movie. And the biggest thing about it, when I think about showing it to my daughter, is the richness and the warmth of the portrayal of family in that movie. That it is, it's not that it's uncomplicated, but it is warm and it's pure. And I just remember just the warmth that was protruding from the screen just like hit me in a very deep way.
Right. Yeah. And Joel, you are not a recent father. I think your kids are a little bit older. I'm wondering what your experience has been of sharing your favorite films with them.
Yeah, my kids are now 12 and 10, and I tried to recreate the excitement for them that I felt about Star Wars when I was young. And so a couple years ago, I figured it was time. I decided to start with the original Star Wars movie.
Mm-hmm.
Tried to make a big deal out of it. I made popcorn. I turned off the lights, fired up the movie, and they hate it.
They
totally detest it. They don't understand what's happening in that opening scene, you know, when the stormtroopers are boarding the rebel ship. They don't care about Darth Vader or Princess Leia.
I'm a member of the Imperial Senate on a diplomatic mission to Alderaan.
You are part of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor. Take it away!
And then when the action shifts down to Tatooine, they're like, this is too slow, we're bored. Mm-hmm. And it is kind of slower than I remembered.
I feel like when you rewatch it again, you bring that sort of sensibility from watching action movies. And now, especially if anyone who has watched like a Marvel movie, you try to watch a Star Wars movie and compare it to the pace, and it is a completely different thing.
Okay, so major fail. But there have been a couple of wins, too. And I think the best example is I've gotten them to watch some of the films of Miyazaki, who's this very celebrated Japanese director, makes beautiful animated films that are like very human, super weird, but very alive. And it was really delightful to see my kids like getting into them and Spirited Away, Kiki's Delivery Service were like favorites. But My Neighbor Totoro, they like totally loved.
Totoro? Is that what your name is? Totoro? Yep, that's your name, all right.
And I want to say, I have a ton of admiration for the father in Totoro because he's like working a lot. He's supporting this family, caring for two young girls while his wife is recuperating in the hospital. He's like very attentive. He is sweet. He's present with his kids. He's curious about their world. And when they tell him about these forest spirits that are living in the woods around their house, he is not dismissive. He's like totally encouraging.
It's not a lie, Dad.
Don't worry, May. Satsuki and I believe you, and I bet you I know what happened. You must have met one of the spirits of the forest. That means you're a very lucky girl.
And he supports them, and he just lets them be kids. And good dad goals for me.
I mean, it honestly makes me wonder about whether this, like, dad movie trope is going to shift over the next few years. As like, I like to believe that we're a little bit more emotionally available than maybe the dads of previous generation, right, Joel? I mean, we aspire to that. And I guess I wonder if the movies at some point are going to start kind of moving in that direction.
We can aspire. That's all we can.
All right. That was NPR's Miles Parks and Joel Rose. Thanks so much for joining us, and happy Father's Day, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.